ApplePredictions.com launches 10,000 Mac apps, an alternative Thunderbolt cable, and Netgear announces the world's first AC router. It's Monday, April 30th, 2012, and this is iWeek. I'm Tim Chatton, and this is what's going on in the Apple world today. Good morning and welcome to another edition of iWeek. Before getting into any actual news, I wanted to just first announce everyone listening that I have launched a new website dubbed Apple Predictions. The site is found at applepredictions.com. Some backstory about the site here. As many of you know, I get rather frustrated by the current state of Apple blogs. The majority of them link bait and make crap up, passing it off as truth with the mask of a verified sourced rumor and its actual truth rather than more than I'm making this up and trying to get links that way. As I share my mission statement, Apple Predictions aims to start a movement that transforms the rumor-driven world of Apple News into a world of thoughtfully written predictions based on historical facts and logical conclusions. I hate Apple rumors. We'll do everything I can to fight this plague with thoughtful and logical predictions. So this site, Apple Predictions, is a site where I'll use my brain to logically predict the future of Apple. It's something that many people can do. It was pretty easy to predict WWDC tickets were going to go on sale the day they did. It was pretty easy to predict the launch date of Lion and the MacBook Airs of last year. And there's many things like that. And I think there is plenty of room in the blogosphere for people actually thinking rather than just trying to link bait, make crap up, and get posts that way. We're ready for a smarter web, I think, and I hope to start a movement where people want that and do that. So that is the aim of this site. The first post is up where I dive into iLife 12 and iWork 12, and I hope you read those and get my predictions as to what will happen there. More posts are on their way and coming soon. If you haven't checked it out, I'd highly encourage you to do so. Once again, it's at applepredictions.com. With that said, let's get into some app news today. First up is the sad mention that Bluetooth on-off has been pulled from the App Store and is no longer available. The 99-cent app allowed users to quickly turn Bluetooth on or off. I own this app and I'm glad I grabbed it while I can, as it'll still work because there's no way Apple will take it off your phone. Hopefully Apple improves Bluetooth toggling in iOS 6, as this is an annoyance of mine and many others. Please, Apple, let us turn Bluetooth on and off quickly rather than going through four or five layers in the settings application. In Mac app news is the cool fact that there are now over 10,000 apps now available in the Mac App Store. The App Store for the Mac launched with a little more than 1,000 apps back in January of 2011, and now at 15 months in, there are now over 10,000 apps available. A cool number that will only go up over time. Last up in app news, I want to simply highlight a tweet by Ken Case, the CEO of the Omni Group. So here is his tweet. Looking back on 2011, I realized we shipped 72 releases to the App Store. In those 52 weeks, 12 iPhone, 24 iPad, and 36 Mac. That is pretty amazing, and well, congrats for an awesome year. We all look forward to the incredible work the Omni Group will do in 2012, as there are a few new apps on the way, so pretty cool stuff coming from the Omni Group this year. Now on to some general Apple news. First up is a Mac-related product. As many of you know, Apple sells a $49 cable that lets you connect a Thunderbolt device to your computer. Many have criticized Apple for its high price point and the fact that there are no third-party cables or basically no competition for this device, for this cable. Well, Apple finally has some competition in the cable business. Elgato has released a Thunderbolt cable. The bummer here is that it's a $60 cable, $11 more expensive than the Apple cable, and it's only half a meter long rather than the 2 meter cable of the Apple cable, and it's black rather than white. Apple's cable, as I just said, is 2 meters long, and I have to say, I love the fact that Elgato has made this cable short. It's perfect for daisy chaining and perfect for me, a MacBook Air user, that hates carrying along this really quite long cable on trips and things like that. So a half a meter cable is a welcome change for me, at least. And hopefully prices go down over time and more companies start making cables. The Elgato cable will be available starting May 4th for $60. In related news is Sumitomo announcing they will be making optical versions of the Thunderbolt cable, and they will be, well, rather long cables, as that's one of the benefits of optical cables. You'll have the option of buying a 20-meter long cable. That's a tenfold in size from the Apple cable. That's already pretty long. Optical cables work with all Thunderbolt devices and computers, provide that nice backwards compatibility. The area where copper cables really went out, though, is power. Even though the devices may work with the previous cables and things like that, it's power where they may fall apart. The copper cable provides up to 10 watts of power. The optical cable will provide no power. So many devices will not work or need external power supply for you to use Thunderbolt. So that's one reason you may not want to make the switch to optical. No pricing or availability has been announced quite yet. Last up in general Apple news is a date for the Samsung-Apple settlement hearing. A U.S. judge has scheduled a court-moderated settlement talk between Apple and Samsung. It's scheduled to take place between May 21st and May 22nd in San Francisco, California. The talks affect around 50 lawsuits across 10 different countries. One can hope that these talks end the crazy copycat practices Samsung is known for, even before the time of Apple. Now, onto some odd and end stories to close out the show. First up is the very first product to take advantage of the next generation of Wi-Fi. So I'm going to just highlight this product and talk a little bit about it. According to The Verge, Netgear has announced that it'll ship the first 802.11ac router, the R6300, for $200 sometime in May. If you're not familiar with 802.11ac, it's the next generation of Wi-Fi protocol, and it promises to offer speeds up to 1.3 gigabits, speeds that you'll probably not have in your home connection unless you're extremely lucky, as it's pretty fast. So hopefully we're finally at a point where wires don't matter for Ethernet and things like that for internet. Currently, there are no devices that can actually take advantage of this fast Wi-Fi standard. No Macs, no iPhones, no Android phones, nothing out there really works with it. So this is the first device and first router to do so. Still, if you're in the market for a new router, The Verge notes that this is the only technology available. The R6300 is your only choice for now. It'll be backwards compatible with the 802.11n, and other than raw performance, this device has two USB ports for plugging and sharing a printer or storage device, and it has DLNA support. There you go. This is the first Wi-Fi AC device. My hope is that now Apple, since it's a standard, will update their routers and Macs with AC support, which sounds kind of funny, with air conditioning support. I'm not sure how they came upon this name. We've had B, G, and N, and it's kind of weird they chose AC for this one. I'm not sure, however, how power efficient this new chip will be for laptops and iPhones, so that may be the only thing holding Apple back from adopting this in all of their products. Traditionally, Apple likes to take advantage of new Wi-Fi technologies right away, as they actually put 802.11n in devices before it was a standard. It's still beta, and the iBook, as many of you know, shipped with Wi-Fi well before any other competitor used Wi-Fi in consumer grade notebooks. So Apple is always at the forefront here. Last up today, I just want to highlight a company, MacAce here. It's set to release a Mobile Me alternative. So the service is called MacMate. MacMate is initially priced at $89 for the first 15 months, 1 year, plus a 3-month bonus. A standard account includes 10 gigabytes of storage, but of course they're willing to sell you more if you want more, and I personally think that this is a rather dumb idea. The reason Mobile Me worked at all is because it was deeply integrated into the Apple apps, into the OS itself. You can publish photos in a single click from iPhoto. You can publish directly from iWeb with easy-to-use settings. You could set up email in a few clicks, and there were iOS apps that did the same. The easy-to-use nature of Mobile Me made it work. Once you go third-party, that all goes away. The actual website for MacAce doesn't impress me much at all either. I'd say go ahead with Apple, go with iCloud. Photo journals allow you to publish photos online, replacing the photo galleries, and I'm sure Apple's working for replacements for every other component that was left out, or modern equivalents, as we don't need all the components that once were there, just as iDVD is not really a needed thing anymore. Well, that's what's going on in the Apple world today. If you like the show, please, please head on over to iTunes and leave a review of the audio show. Write a sentence about why you like iWake. So go to iTunes, search for iWake, and write a review. It really, really helps, and it makes my day a little bit happier and brighter. So that's always a good thing, too. So do that, and also head on over to youtube.com/TCHATEN to check out all of my YouTube videos, including iWake. And finally, applepredictions.com is a site I'd recommend checking out today, and I'll have more content on that site soon. So for now, enjoy the very first post on iWork and iLife. With that, join me tomorrow for another edition of iWake. Aloha.